As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 32. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures?" The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 32. This is a word which stands in connection with a wonderful narrative with which you may, all of you, be somewhat familiar. And I desire to look at it, as the Lord should help me, from three or four viewpoints which might be helpful and profitable to you. You all know that this is a word in connection with the two cast down disciples journeying along the Emmaus Road. And it is very striking how ignorant they seem to be, and how they had not profited and learned the truth, even though it was put before them by Jesus Christ, who is the truth. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And now the first point I want to bring before you is that disciples, as these were, they were sinners, born again, and they had the root of the matter, even as the 11 were of the disciples of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ was before Pilate, it is very solemn reading that his own disciples all forsook him and fled. Often preachers refer to Peter and his denial of the Lord Jesus, but it must not be overlooked that the others forsook him and fled also. And now these two disciples are talking together, and they are in such a cast-down state about the things which had happened. And yet the things which had happened were full of blessed teaching and reality and an unfolding of the purposes of God. And Jesus drew near, and he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these, which ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad?" This shows to us, dear friends, how prone we are to fall a prey to viewing the dealings of God, thinking our own thoughts and reasoning. And these disciples were reasoning together, and their thoughts were all being built on a foundation of misunderstanding and misapprehension. It is very noticeable, and you, dear young people, as you study the Gospels and read therein, keep in your mind that the disciples had in their minds that the kingdom of God would be coming on the earth, and that Jesus Christ was going to establish it, and that they would occupy leading positions therein. A kingdom that their eyes could see being built up on the earth. But this was only their own supposition. If they had listened to what Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." The kingdom of God, margin reading, is not outside show. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus Christ came down not to establish a kingdom in this world, but to do love's redeeming work, and that a door of mercy might be opened in heaven. But these two disciples had this other thought in their breast, and therefore they reasoned. And as they thought that Jesus Christ was now put to death, crucified, and laid in the grave, as to his holy humanity, they had no hope as to what was now going to be made known. And yet, I want you to remember this, that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus will answer all questions and meet all difficulties and demands of poor sinners. When you, dear young people, sometimes look round the world and see that hell itself is let loose in it, and you think your own thoughts, and you may reason, whatever will become of us and ours, especially if you have your dear little children growing up around you, what has the future in store for us and ours? Do remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead on that Easter morn long ago will answer all your questions, silence all your reasonings, and will help you, if you wait on God, to realize a good hope through grace that whatever the future holds in store for the world at large, it shall be well with them that fear God, and that his word will not fail to be fulfilled. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The cause of Christ may seem to be at a very low ebb. I said seem to be. It is often better than you and I can see it really is. But we see much that is amiss, much opposition from earth and hell against it. But the Lord has guaranteed that the church of Christ shall be built up. And let it be your chief concern to be found in that living structure of which the hymn writer says, "See my soul a structure rising from the wreck of human race." May it be your concern to be a living stone therein. And when you think sometimes the cause of Christ seems buried in the earth, and you can hardly see any signs of what you believe is the Church of Christ militant, seeing matters are so overrun in the world at large by earth and hell alike, do remember that the cause of Christ will rise from the dead. For when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that was a guarantee that his purposes would not fail to be brought to pass, and he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. The cause of Christ at the present time seems buried under the scoffs and jars and the enmity of the world at large, but as Jesus Christ rose from the dead, so the cause of Christ will rise again in the world at large. and His kingdom will come, and His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And now, when Jesus drew near to these two disciples on the Emmaus Road, what communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk into sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Do listen to how they answered. And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Set up the kingdom of Israel on a new basis. That is what they had in their minds, as I said earlier on. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And now Jesus Christ had warned them about all this before his crucifixion, but they were indeed dull of hearing and duller still in their apprehensions. And you and I dare not fling a stone at these sad-hearted disciples, because you and I have too often misjudged the dealings of God, misunderstood the why and the wherefore. And when we have said, Jacob, like, all these things are against me, we have had to eat our words, reverse our consideration of it, and say, Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. This is the section I like in this beautiful chapter. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, how often in my long ministerial life have I wished that the Holy Spirit had been pleased to record that exposition that Jesus Christ gave to these two sad-hearted disciples. What a help it would have been to us in preaching the gospel. Think of it, beginning at Moses, the first five books in the Word of God, the Pentateuch, and then all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, and that includes the Psalms, the things concerning himself. What a wonderful exposition it was. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying unto him, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And here is a wonderful thing. All the while, he who is the incarnate Word was unfolding to them the written Word on the Emmaus Road. They did not realize who he really was, that he was Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the resurrection, and the life. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Then comes our subject, and they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures. And now, this is a beautiful and blessed experience, which is still to be known. I have said how glad I should have been had this exposition of the dear Saviour's been recorded in black and white, that poor preachers could often read it and get further instruction and have their own understandings enlightened too in the reading. But God in his infinite wisdom has not permitted that to be. But it can still be that Jesus Christ can talk with us by the way. And when he does, it will always be as he opens to us the scriptures, as he makes known to us what saith the scriptures. And you will always find the same effect when he is pleased to do it. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And now that is, as it were, the setting of the subject. And now I want to make this plain, that it is so noticeable with people taught of God, though they are indeed well taught of God and have long followed on to know the Lord, yet they are guilty. You and I are guilty if we are taught of God, as I hope many of us are. We are guilty of judging by appearances. These two disciples on the Emmaus Road, they thought all had come to naught with the death of Jesus Christ, but it was essential that Jesus Christ should die and that he should suffer in the stead of poor sinners like you and me, and that the foundation of the Church of Christ should be guaranteed by his life, his death, his resurrection. And there is another thing wherein people taught of God are guilty, not only in thinking their own thoughts about his dealings and reasoning, but in listening to what Satan may suggest as to the why and wherefore of matters. And we're most of all guilty in what Jesus Christ said to these two disciples on the Emmaus Road. O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. What saith the scriptures? That is our guarantee as to how matters will fall out for us as we journey on along life's way. And I want to come to that viewpoint of the subject. There is this scripture, a beautiful scripture, and you remember it when you search the scriptures on your own behalf. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And that is how it is. Your heart will burn within you when Jesus Christ himself draws near to you and opens up the scriptures. It is the incarnate word unfolding the written word. The scriptures and the Lord bear one tremendous name. The written and the incarnate word in all things are the same. And I will show you, as the Lord you help me, in what way the scriptures are opened to us. But I must make this plain, not go on too fast and too far before I do it. This is for disciples only, not the dead, not the world at large, not those who just look on the Word of God as an ordinary book, but those who believe it to be what it really is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And these two disciples said, while he opened to us the Scriptures. And now, when you become a disciple, the scriptures at that time become to you a blessed reality. And you know it is the Holy Bible but divine. And you want to read it for your own soul's profit and peace, and find it to be what the psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." I turn aside to ask this question. How many of you, dear friends, young and old, do day by day look into the sacred pages to get help by the way and light on the dealings of God with you and yours, and most of all, that you might get bread to eat, such bread as Jesus Christ said, "I am the bread of life, and he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Oh, the scriptures are a wonderful mercy, more than any preacher's words can tell in setting forth the wonder of the mercy and the greatness of it. But when a sinner is born again, when his eyes are opened, and he knows he has to do with God, he turns to the Word of God, that he might be instructed and built up in our most holy faith. While he opened to us the Scriptures, it is a very striking wording, while he opened to us. You and I, as a rule, we read the Scriptures, and sometimes we read chapter after chapter, and nothing seems to light in our soul's experience to do us good or to make our heart burn. And sometimes we read it again and we hang about a word or two which is opened up to us by the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the Word of God in its entirety, and our heart begins to burn and we find our souls are instructed in the things of God. And while we are in such a frame before the Word of God, we can indeed say, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." You can say, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the Scriptures?" And now to come back to this opening up of the Scriptures. First of all, you will find the Scriptures are opened up to you in their authority. You will realize in searching the sacred pages, whatever godless critics may have said, and you may have heard them say it in school or college where you have Scripture lessons, all that will have to go, and you will realize God spake all these words. The Scriptures will be opened up, I say, in their authority. And you will see that he who in the beginning of the world said, "Let there be light," and there was light, he says in the word of his grace, the same in how he leads poor sinners into the truth. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And when he opens up to you the Scriptures, whatever Scripture it may be, and it may be some word and will be a word most apposite to your case, your circumstances, you will realize the authority of it, because it will be, "Thus saith the Lord," and you will understand a word in Ezekiel, which you know I often quote. And Ezekiel said, "The word of the Lord came expressly to me." So it will come to you as you search the sacred pages, that in heaven's own light you may find light on the dealings of God and be led forth in the way wherein you should go. The Scriptures will be opened up in their authority. And then they will be opened up to in their solemnity. You read ordinary books written by man, and you may find mistakes therein and errors, and you will do in thousands, millions now that are published. But when it comes to the Word of God, you will feel the solemnity of it. And when a word is lodged in your heart, and it makes your heart burn that it should come to such a poor sinner as you are, you will realize not only the authority of it, but the solemnity of it, that God should condescend to lodge a word in your heart, a word of which He is the author, to instruct you, to help you, to comfort you, to confirm you, and to give you light upon the way that you should go. It is a beautiful and blessed experience. Some of us have known just a little of it. We should like to have known much more than we have known in journeying along. But we are not altogether strangers to it. While He opened to us the Scriptures in their authority and in their solemnity, and then it will always be in their suitability. There is a word in Jeremiah where a question is asked. Is there any word from the Lord? It was put to Jeremiah, and he said, yes, there is. And now, whatever your case may be, you dear young people, listen, whatever your circumstances may be, you may have many duties to do and difficulties to face, and life's responsibilities may increase upon you as you journey on. And sometimes you will be like the disciples on the Emmaus Road. You will think your own thoughts, and the more you think, the more you will be sad, like they were. And then, when you are helped to look into the Word of God, there you will find, as the Scriptures are open to you, what is so suitable to your case or your circumstances, and it is a word in season, a word in beautiful suitability, which instructs you in the way wherein you should go. And when you get a word to help you with regard to things in the future, you have this authority then before the throne of grace. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. So the Scriptures are opened up, and you find they are beautifully and blessedly suitable to your soul's feelings when they are. And you will find your heart burn within you, and you will feel that God has to do with you, while you have to do with God. And then the Scriptures are opened up also in their blessedness and in their comfort, because there are words of comfort in the Scriptures which no preacher can really open up and unfold as they should be, but the comfort is a blessed reality. And I might tell you this, and it might help you. If you are a disciple indeed, you will want comfort that comes from the Word of God, which a man cannot receive except it be given him from heaven. Remember what God's name is declared to be, the God of all comfort, God that comforteth them that are cast down. So you will find at times the Scriptures will be opened up to you and will be a word of comfort, a word of help, a word to confirm you that you are disciples indeed. But then, most important of all, as the scriptures are opened up to you, you will find it to be as it was with these disciples on the Emmaus Road. I read the word again. And do listen. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Not only the written word and what the Holy Spirit designed to make known in recording it, it will bring you to Jesus Christ himself. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And you will be able to say, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And sometimes you will find the scriptures opened up, and they will be to you a word of life. Some books you read make no impression upon you at all, because there is nothing worthwhile in what you read to do so. But whenever you read the Word of God, wherever you read, there is in what you read the life of God to be known and felt. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But let me tell you this, and you remember it, power belongeth unto God. And that means sometimes you can read a psalm and it will be unto you comfort, peace, bring you sweet relief. Another day, when you are sad-hearted, you read the same psalm again because it did you good before, but you get nothing at all then, because there is the life lacking and the power is not communicated. And you may say, I wonder why that is. I will tell you, I will be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, to do these things. Just one more thought here, and he opened to us the scriptures. They will always be opened up, whatever the characteristic whereby they are open to meet your soul's case and to help you in your circumstances, in their supremacy. It must always come to this. What saith the scriptures? And what saith the scriptures to you? It is your concern before God, whose you are and whom you serve, to do. Make me to walk in thy commands. 'Tis a delightful road. Nor let my head or heart or hands offend against my God. While he opened to us the scriptures. And now, looking at the subject from another viewpoint, where will he open up to you the scriptures? Not always as you were before the word of God, reading the sacred pages. He will unfold the heavenly mysteries where he has promised to do so. In all places where I record my name, there will I come and bless thee. And this day, as you have gathered together to worship God, you have desired that you might have the scriptures opened up to you, and that Jesus Christ might say a word of help and hope to you, and that you might know what it is for your hearts to burn within you, burn with love to him. You had that feeling, what is the house to me unless the master I can see? But while he opened to us the scriptures, and now sometimes Jesus Christ may take quite a while, speaking with great reverence, in doing it. You might be viewing his dealings, and going back a moment to Jacob, you might think, like Jacob did, all these things are against me. And that was how he reasoned. Joseph is not Oh, he feared Joseph was dead. Simeon is not. He is in prison. Will ye take Benjamin also? All these things are against me. And now, Jacob was a godly man, although what he was by nature was not at all lovable, but what he was by grace was good to see from time to time made manifest. And think of Joseph being down in Egypt, which Jacob did not realize that he was, because his sons, when they went down to buy corn at the first time, did not realize they had to do with Joseph, but they did. And it was 20 years after Joseph was sold as a slave, taken out of the pit and carried down to Egypt and sold for a slave. All these things are against me, says Jacob. He was reasoning, thinking his own thoughts like you and I do. But when the matter was opened up, and later on his own sons returned to tell the wonderful news that Joseph was alive and that he was the governor of Egypt, and then when they asked him to search out and look at the wagons that Joseph had sent to take him and his down into Egypt, what did Jacob say then? How unwise I was to say what I did. All these things are against me. And he went farther back than that. I say that with great reverence. I believe he went back to that time when Joseph was only 17 years old. And when Joseph told his dreams, his father said, "Do you mean to say that we're all going to bow down to you later on?" And he, as it were, rebuked him. But it does say a verse or two later on in the record, Jacob observed the saying. As I said, he was a godly man, and he might have thought that God was in it, although he could not see how it could be possible that it would come to pass. But it did come to pass. In every jot and tittle of it, the scripture was opened up to him in how God dealt with him in his providence. And through the famine, they had to go down to Egypt to buy corn. And then Joseph was found to be alive, and Jacob went down to see his son ere he died. He opened to us the scriptures, not to think our own thoughts, not to reason, why should this be, why should that be. Let us ever remember, to everything there is a time and a purpose under the heaven. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Who can judge what dear Jacob felt when he saw the wagons and he said, "It is enough"? The scriptures were opened up then, and I reckon he did not sleep that night, but he went back over his life and saw how the scriptures had been opened up, and surely his heart burned within him as he saw how the goodness of God had followed him along. This can be known by you. I hope it is known by me. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And now, I said God uses the means of grace. I've already hinted how he opened up the scriptures to Jacob in his providential dealings. You may say, what scripture did he open up? The scripture that was given him when he was found at the ladder's foot and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending it. The top of it reached heaven itself and the Lord stood above it. And he said, "Behold, I am with thee." and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will not leave thee until I have done all these things that I have spoken to thee of. And that scripture was yet more opened up when Jacob at length went down to meet Joseph in Egypt. But the scriptures are also opened up, and you realize your heart burn at times while the gospel of the grace of God is preached, because it is the word of God that is unfolded by men ordained of God to preach. And sometimes you see light in heaven's own light, and you may have come up to worship God and felt like these disciples, very sad because of matters to do with you and yours, and you were reasoning, and then in the worship of God and the unfolding of the gospel, it comes to you as good tidings of great joy, and you begin to see things clearly as to the why and wherefore of the dealings of God, and hope begins to burn bright that yet you will be able to say, it is well. The watchmen that go about the city, they found me, you read in Solomon's song. And when they do, the scriptures are opened up and your heart burns, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. Oh, it is the power that you want. I wish I could feel more of it in preaching to you. I wish you could feel more of it in listening to the gospel that is preached to you. But it is to do with you and God. I will be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, to do these things. The scriptures are opened up too in godly conversation, when they that speak often one to another speak about the dealings of God. You have felt it, some of you, I am sure. And I can tell you when you have felt it. Not once or twice, no, 20 times, and twice 20 times, when you have been in the church, listening to someone before the church, desiring to be added to the church fellowship, telling of the dealings of God with their soul. And as you have listened and discerned, it was indeed according to what saith the scriptures, and that they were being led by the Spirit of God in the way they were going along. You have felt the unity of the Spirit, and your heart has burned within you, and you have been able to say, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? The scriptures are opened up like that sometimes in the dealings of God with us as we have journeyed along. And then he opened to us the scriptures. They're open to us too in prayer. You will find sometimes, if you help to pray, that words of scripture will come to you to emphasize what you are praying about. You will plead the word of the Lord, and when you realize where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I have read regarding William Huntington, I wish I could do it, his public prayers were simply scriptures strung together in beautiful harmony. He hardly ever went into details of anything that was happening, but simply pleaded the word of God itself. And he was mighty in the scriptures because he was mighty in prayer. And the scriptures are opened up to you when you wait on God and wait for God. Lead me into thy truth and teach me. Give me to know its power and its preciousness. And sometimes you find your heart burn. And whenever you do find it burn like that and you are before God, do remember this. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. and remember what you sing, and only half reduced to practice, maybe only a quarter. Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. Oh, we're so limited often in our attempts to pray, but I must come to the amen. Although I must tell you, sometimes the scriptures will be opened up to you when you not only try to pray, but try to praise. You may say, I cannot say much about praise and thanksgiving. I seem to come so short. But whatever you do, do not leave off trying to praise, because it may be when you are doing it, at some time, you will find what Eliezer did. I being in the way, the Lord met with me and brought me to the house of my master's brethren. And you will find in trying to pray and trying to praise, sometimes your heart will begin to burn within you. The scriptures will be opened up to you. Then you will say, Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is good for me to draw near unto God. And in remembering the way that God has led you, as you look back over the way you have come along, you will sometimes see he has opened up to you the scriptures, and maybe he will make one word stand out in his dealings with you. I hope he will. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee in the way in which thou shouldest go. And he will open up the scriptures to you as you gather together, as you are this Sabbath afternoon, because he is guaranteed to do it in worship. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And sometimes you feel the world is shut out, and you are shut in with God, and glad to feel as you do in the worship of his holy majesty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Did not our hearts burn within us while he taught with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And I'm going to keep you a minute, and you're not to grumble, as I want to say one thing more. You find that in this beautiful record, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And there are scriptures to be opened up if you are concerned to be what you ought to be, some of you, obedient children. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And now those scriptures will be opened up to you. And if you do what the word of God says, it is what saith the scriptures that you ought to do, to follow him whose you are and whom you desire to serve. You will find in doing it, did not our hearts burn within us while he taught with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? In following on to know the Lord in the way that Jesus Christ went himself as verily man, in the keeping of his commandments, not for keeping, in keeping his commandments, there is great reward. Oh, that you, dear people, some of you who have known much of the goodness of God, who wait upon him day by day to help you every day, and yet you do not obey what saith the scriptures as regards what Jesus Christ has said you should be doing. Oh, that you might ponder the matter, weigh it up before God, and not lie on your deathbed later on and regret that while you had the opportunity to follow Jesus in the way he trod with his own holy footsteps, you failed to do it. Suffer the word of exhortation. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And now, think of this word going home. And they told what things were done in the way. Where should these things be told? Not only to each other, as you seek to hold fellowship and speak one to another about the things of God, they should be told before the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is a divine institution, and our church has long been a church, 160 odd years. It was founded on a right foundation. It has been built upon that foundation from that day to this, and we want to realize another heart burning. With pleasure we behold Emmanuel's offspring come, a sheep are gathered to the fold and left no more to roam. Amen.